Good afternoon. What's in it for me? That's essentially what Peter was asking. Lord, what is in it for me? We have left all. We have forsaken all. What shall we have, therefore? What's in it for me? And we learned that the Lord didn't get upset by the question, but answered it. So I would think that we could answer the question for people today. If you obey the gospel, we ought to tell you what's in it for you. And we learned this morning that if you obey the gospel, what's in it for you is a release from former things. You can let go of old things. Paul says the former things are old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then we learned that what's in it for you is the privilege of prayer. To be able to always to be able to always approach the throne of God, to be able to lift up your life to Him in prayer, to always be able to approach His throne boldly. John says we can come with great confidence, and not because of what we think, but because of what we know. 1 John 5:14-15. Jesus said, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up, persevere in prayer. James says, if you need wisdom regarding the trials and the difficulties that you face, he said, ask God and always ask Him. Just do it in faith. Make sure that you do it with confidence in Him, that God will see you through, that God will supply what you need, and that He has an unlimited supply. So you cannot exhaust God. Just keep on asking and keep on asking. And even when you mess things up a time or two or three, don't stop asking. God will not upbraid you in that, but He will continue to give what you need. What's in it for me? Well, let's continue. You obey the gospel, I'll tell you what's in it for you. The providential care of God is in it for you. Look with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. God has always taken care of His people. I'm reminded that Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So it's good to look back and to see those things that were recorded. Look down at verse number 30, chapter 37, and look at verse number 25 and 26. It's always good to look back and see, because David said something long ago that still is an encouragement to us today when we think about the providential care of God, because that's what you get when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, read if you will.
I have been young, and now am old.
You know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, man, one day I can't wait till I get old so I can say what David said. You know, and so I said, well, man, take your time. It's coming. Don't rush it. But he said, I just want to be able to live from this side and get to that side. And he said, and then I'm going to quote David. And you know, that preacher told me that a long time ago. And he finally quoted that the last time I was with him. He quoted that because he said, now I'm old. He said, I've been young, now I'm old. And what did David say?
Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken.
And when you think about David and all the things that David been through, if anybody should know, he should. And David said, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor what?
Nor his seed begging bread.
Come on with the next verse.
He is ever merciful. And his seed is blessed.
My friends, when you look throughout scripture, you know that this is true. I mean, didn't God make good on His promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 6? He certainly did. Told Abraham that if he could number the stars, he would be able to, so would his seed be. And Abraham, my friends, did not have a child and couldn't have a child, and Sarah couldn't have a child, and yet God made good on His promise to Abraham. And didn't He make good on His promise to save Noah and his family? And we get to Genesis chapter 7 and verse number 1, and here God is inviting them to come into the ark. He invited Noah and his family to come into the ark. Now God says you come into the ark because that's where God is. His presence is in that ark because that's the vehicle, the ark of safety. And so He invites Noah and his family to come into the ark. He said, because I have found thee righteous in this generation. You think about all the things that God did that gives us hope, that helps us so that we can appreciate who God is and what He means to us. so that we can appreciate the providential care, knowing that God will actually provide for us. I mean, didn't he make good on his promise to spare the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah? When Abraham, he bargained with God that if you can get all the way down to 10 righteous, if you could just find 10 righteous. Well, God got in there and didn't find 10 righteous, but he still brought the righteous out and did not destroy them with the wicked. Didn't he take care of the children of Israel as he preserved them through the wilderness wanderings? Those individuals, according to Deuteronomy chapter 29, they marched in that wilderness for 40 years. But in verse number 5, you're talking about the care of God. The Bible says their clothes did not wear out, nor did their shoes. They didn't need a change of shoes for 40 years. They didn't need a change of clothes for 40 years because God didn't allow those things to wear out on them. I mean, that's God in his providential care. So when you look back and you see the way God has cared for his people, don't that encourage us today? And didn't he deliver the three Hebrew boys from the fiery furnace? Even though they could not say with any exact confidence that God was going to deliver them, but they said perhaps. And we know that if God desires to save us from this furnace, he will. They didn't know if he would or wouldn't, but God certainly did. When Nebuchadnezzar and those individuals looked in that furnace, they looked down and said, didn't we put three in there? But we see four. Well, there was someone in there with them that did not allow that fire to even singe the hair on their heads. Didn't he take care of Daniel when Daniel was in the lion's den? And my friends, I'm just showing you, you know the difference is that when Daniel was in the lion's den, God took care of him and didn't close the mouth of those lions. But as soon as they put those criminals in there that told on Daniel, those lions opened their mouths and break their bones. You see, God preserved his people. And didn't he take care of Paul? And wasn't his grace, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, sufficient for the apostle Paul? It certainly was. And Paul, my friends, even though he had that thorn in the flesh and he asked God that he would remove it three times, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
It certainly was. God has always taken care of his people. I believe David got it right. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so he realized that God's people has always been taken care of by God. When you obey the gospel, you come into a situation and in a state where God provides, where God actually looks over you and looks and cares for you. And so God, what God did then, he still does today. Consider what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If man depends on himself, he is heading for a fall. If you depend on yourself, you're not going to make it. If you depend on yourself, this thing is going to go all wrong. And in fact, verse number 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. See, the individual that believes he can stand on his own, that he can stand by himself, that individual is heading for a fall. But the individual that believes that he should stand on God's promises, that he should depend on God and rely on God and trust in God, that individual, my friend, is going to stand. That individual is going to be secure. Why? Because he is trusting in the faithfulness of God. You see, your responsibility, you look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13, you have a responsibility there. God is not going to do it without you. Your responsibility is to seek proper means provided by God, and therefore he will keep you in those means. Sometimes people won't do the wrong thing and they expect God to preserve them in it. God is not going to preserve you in that which is wrong. However, if you find yourself in a temptation that is common to man, in those common things in life that sometimes comes in like storms on us, my friends, if you do the right thing and you take care of the means that if you live by and you use the resources that has been provided you by God, then God will preserve you. You will see God's faithfulness. However, if you get off track and you do the wrong thing, God won't preserve you in that. And so we have a responsibility. You remember what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:12, we talked about this earlier. Peter said, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Notice now, we talked about it last time in reference to prayer. And his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them to do evil. So God is going to take care of those who are plotting against you. And who is he that will harm you if you be doers of that which is good? Verse 13. But God is going to take care of those who are even in harm's way, and those persecutors who are persecuting his people. And but what Peter wanted them to understand is that God is watching. It is the sense of a guardianship. God is watching. He is careful. He is careful. He is caring for you. So he is guarding us as he looks down. His eyes are over the righteous. He's concerned about what's happening to his people. He's always concerned about what's happening to his people. You see, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you invite God in with his special care and provisions. You invite God's guardianship. You invite God to be over you, to watch you, and so that he will know what's going on with you. My friends, and I'll tell you what, we need that, don't we? We need that because a lot of things can take place in this life. And so some people would say, well, you know what? Well, if God is watching over you and we have all of his care and his provisions, then why does bad things happen to the righteous? Wouldn't that be a fair question? Well, we'd need more time to answer than I'm going to use here now, but we will say this. Nothing is going to happen to the righteous that God doesn't allow. Amen. Nothing is going to catch God by surprise. So people want to ask, well, then why does God even allow those things to happen? Listen, eventually God's people have to die. Eventually, God's people have to succumb to different things. And eventually, God's people are persecuted and all those kind of things. But God allows those things to happen. Why? Because, my friends, what you and I might not understand and appreciate, that those things need to happen for you to get better. And it's sometimes in those things that God is strengthening us. Sometimes in those things that God is removing some of those things that need to be removed from our lives, from our character, and stuff like that. So sometimes it's those hardships and those things that God allows us to go to. As James says, those things create patience. And James says, when you count it all joy, you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, what do we know? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, the trying is all those difficulties and sometimes the persecutions and sometimes those things in life that sometimes persecute us, if you will. And we have to deal with those things. We have to live under those things. We have to deal with the burden of those things pressing us in our lives. And what does God do? Allows them to happen. Why? Because he's going to make you better. He's going to remove some of those impurities out of your character by allowing those things to happen. So even when those things happen to us, it's for our good. But nothing is going to happen that God doesn't allow. You know the difference between between God and Satan in the reference to Job? Is that here God is having a conversation with Satan, and he asked Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yes, I've considered your servant Job. You got such a hedge around him, I can't get to him. God said, well, I'll let you get to him. No, he had to allow him. I'll let you get to him. I'll allow you to get to him. And then he restricted. You can do anything you want to, but you can't kill him. Why? Because I'm going to overcome all your foolishness in his life. So I'm going to let you have him for a time. I'm going to let you try it. I'm going to let you prove your point. But I'm going to set some boundaries on you, and you can't go beyond it. You see, that's the difference between God and Satan. They are not equal. It just burns me sometimes when people talk about Satan and God like they right here and it's a war. It's just, oh man, who's going to win? No, that's never been in question. That's never been in question. He's not on God's level. And God just restricts him and tells him, you can have him, but you cannot do this to him. You cannot kill him. And Satan went and threw everything but the kitchen sink at Job. And then in the end, God overcame everything Satan did to Job and made him better. You think Job was better before the ordeal or better after the ordeal? After the ordeal. Read his statements, what he makes to God in chapter 38 on down through 42. And you look at what he says to God and realize that this was a good man that became much better because God allowed him to go through it. But all along the line, that man did not understand why this was happening to him. Why? Because he was a righteous man. And what is God saying? Do you not know that I'm going to send one out of heaven? I'm going to send my son himself out of heaven who never did any sin, and he's going to suffer being righteous. But why does the righteous suffer? Because there is a God in heaven that can overrule it.
Amen.
And utilize it to make us better, to fit us and prepare us for heaven. Now, you and I know, we was talking about parenting, and we was talking about children earlier today, and all of us have been children one time in our lives, most of us. All of us have been children at one time in our lives, but you and I know that it's because of the chastisement that we received and the spankings and all those things that made us better, that fitted us to be better adults. Now, when you find some that didn't, you know, I never get no spanking, that's why you're a troublemaker. That's why you do some of the things you do. That's why you don't get along well with others, on and on and on, because didn't nobody take you and do what they had to do to you when you was growing up? I was just watching, I don't even know what this, Dr. Phil. I didn't get to watch the show, but I was watching what is that that they do? I guess the preview of it when they actually show them what's going to be on the show that day, and they were showing this little child, and the mother and the father were saying, we just can't do anything with him. He gets so angry. He just throws these fits, and he's doing it in public, and we just don't know what to do with him. And they showed a little child, and he's sitting at the table like this, and he's sitting at the dinner table. He's just doing all this stuff. He's just scrambling on the table, stuff like that. And then he gets under the table, and he's doing all this stuff. He's kicking stuff and doing all. Then they show him at the store. They bid on him. He's doing like this. They said, don't climb on that. Climbs on it and does all this stuff. And they going on Dr. Phil. Where's Anthony? I don't see him. But listen, if you're one of my children,
say so.
And you fall out, I fall out with you. I fall out with you. If you fell out, I fell out too. We both ended up down there together. And we coming up off that floor. We come up off that floor violently, violently. You see how I'm smiling? Because if you fell out, I'm falling out with you. And I got you wherever you cut up. I'm telling you, one lady was trying to call the police on me one time because I got Shantrese and Anthony. I got them in the parking lot at the gas station. Boy, I took them out that car, took that belt off, and I was wearing them out. And this lady was so taken back by that, she ran in there and she was talking to this lady in the store. She said, oh, God, did you see that? Did you see what just happened? He was beating them. I need to call somebody. And you know what? She was talking to my mother. She didn't know she was talking to my mother. And my mother said, yes, I saw that. But, you know, they probably needed it. They probably needed it. But I was just thinking, I wanted little Johnny to come with me. You don't need Dr. Phil. You need Dr. Greg. You need Dr. Greg. And we got Johnny straightened out. You just come back in 2 weeks. And if little Johnny not straightened out, money back guarantee. And I know a lot of you all feel the same way I do. That's what they are allowing.
Yeah.
They didn't train them, didn't teach them, didn't do what they needed to do for them. And I'll tell you, you know, see, when God cares for us, God cares for us and he watches over us, but he will allow some of those things because he wants those things to make us better, to make us stand up like the men and women that he desires for us to be. And so sometimes, my friends, that means you got to get some spankings. That means sometimes you got to take it on the chin. And that means sometimes, you know, as a Hebrew writer said, Hebrews chapter 12, you know what, this spankings and these chastisements, it's not joyous in the moment, but it will yield peaceable fruit when it gets applied to us. He's watching. His eyes are over the righteous. He is our guardian. And he will make sure that no matter what happens, and no matter how we take it, no matter what kind of whipping we have to take, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hard it is, no matter how long it lasts, he wants us to know that I am watching, I care, and it's going to be all right. It's going to work out to your good. Now, the thing that I say to people, listen, is this. When you're going through some things, sometimes you need to just learn the lesson. You need to learn the lesson. Again, we compare it to children and parents. If you are a child and your parents say, I'm going to put you on punishment. Now, if you want that punishment to last longer, all you have to do is keep displaying the attitude that says, I haven't learned anything. All you have to do is keep displaying that defiant attitude. And you might find yourself in a career of punishments. But if you show that you're learning the lessons and that you get it and that you're sorry for your actions, you know, sometimes the parents will go ahead and suspend the punishment. Previously, I said 2 weeks, but you know what? Seems like you're remorseful. Seem like you get it. So it's been a little over a week. Go ahead and let you off. Parents, we've done that?
Yes.
Yes. But what do you do with a defiant child? You might have to continue that thing. Sometimes the suffering and the trials and the temptations and the things that we have to go through, sometimes people are fighting and they're still doing the wrong thing. And therefore, God can't get all of that foolishness out of you because you won't learn the lesson. So my thing is, learn the lesson. Learn the lesson. Do what's right. And maybe you can get out of that situation. What a great benefit to know that no matter what happens to me in this life, because I'm in Christ, that he is going to have his providential care, his watchful care, his guidance, his guardianship over me, so that even when things of which I don't understand and things that maybe I don't even agree, I know he's going to work them out to our good because he told me. What's in it for me? An eternal reward. Let's go and look at Jesus' answer to Peter's question. We didn't really deal with the answer, but we did deal with the question. Peter said, what's in it for me? Let's go to Matthew 19 and let's look at Jesus' response to Peter. Let's pick up at about verse 25.
When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
So when is the regeneration? The regeneration is obviously this life, the Christian life. So in the regeneration, in this life, this is what you're going to have. Go ahead and read.
And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life.
Mm-hmm. Haven't you all received 100-fold?
Amen.
Craig, how many brothers and sisters you have? Physical brothers and sisters? Two sisters? Bob, how many physical brothers and sisters you have? Three. Okay, now look around. Now how many do you have? 100-fold, right? Did the Lord keep his word? How many do you have? And now look around. And you know what? We do ourselves a disservice when we don't get to know as many of them as we can. You can walk in here for the rest of your days and you can only talk to two people, six people, three people in your little inner circle, and that's about as far as you go. But look what he gave you. And that's just in here. Not to mention all over the world and meeting Christians. You got some brothers in Chesapeake. You got some brothers over here in Peninsula. You got some brothers over there in Hampton and in Smithfield and Portsmouth. I mean, we got some brothers and sisters. He's given us 100-fold. Now, Bob only got 3 in this life physically, but now look how many he has. And I guarantee you this. Who do you think he spends more time with? And probably closer. Probably closer in relationship. Now, Craig probably don't like his sisters half the time. No, I'm sure he does. But he loves us. He loves us. So the point is, he has given. Peter said, we left it all. Well, Peter, you didn't leave it all, and I'm not going to give you 100-fold in this life. Now, how many houses did Peter them have? Maybe one little cottage. But look around. You see, you don't get a chance to meet and really get to know your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe you don't get invited into those homes, or maybe we don't have those relationships. But I guarantee you, it's not because the Lord hadn't done his part. Amen. Which one of you could get hungry in here and we wouldn't feed you? Which one of you? Now, if you're hungry and we don't know it, that's another thing. But I guarantee you, if you let us know, I'm hungry, and I lost my job, and I'm not eating, we're going to take care of you. Folks going to come through. We're going to put some food together. Folks are going to do some cooking. We're going to put some money together, and you're going to be taken care of. There's no doubt about it. Why? Because you got brothers and sisters in here. The Lord has more than fulfilled his promise. I will give you 100-fold. You might have left your brothers and sisters physically because they didn't want anything to do with the Lord, but I'm going to give you so much more. I'm going to give you some fathers in here so you can get some fatherly advice. I'm going to give you some mothers in here because every now and then we need some motherly figures to come up and say, hey, boy, you're doing a good job. Amen. So proud of you. You know, so glad to see you doing what you're doing. And just to tell you, give you those little words of encouragement, those ladies, those nice ladies that sometime will come and bake you something and just let you know they appreciate you, all those kind of things. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about everybody. That's what I'm talking about. I don't mean the preacher. Don't get that. Oh, he tried. No, not the preacher. I'm just talking about any brother, any sister. We got some older sisters and they're like mothers to some of the young ladies who need somebody they can talk to time about some things they're going through, parenting and all those kind of things. And then the fact that there are some ladies that will show you how to cook and all. Listen, we got it right here. Now, if you don't take advantage of it, don't blame the Lord. He done fulfilled his promise. We just being silly.
Amen. I don't want nobody in the church in my business.
Need to be all in your business because that's going to make your business better when folks get in your business and help you. And I was in places, I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of congregations and I've preached at several. And let me tell you something, there were some folks in certain certain congregations that just resisted me. They didn't like what I was preaching, so I get it. And they resisted me, okay? So I told them at one time, last place where I was, I said, look, I realize that some of you all don't want anything to do with me. Now, I'm standing this from the pulpit. I said, I realize that some of you don't want anything to do with me. I get it. I know. The way you treat me, some of you don't talk to me, don't speak to me, things like that. Some of you haven't spoken to me in about 2 years. Okay? So, I knew it. I get it. But I said, I tell you this. If you allow our time together to go by and you don't want to foster a relationship with me, there may come a time when you wish you had that relationship. Amen. But you did nothing to build a relationship. You resisted all attempts to build and establish a relationship. And then the day came where I got up one day and said, it's time for me to go. I'm leaving. And everybody cried. Even people who I thought absolutely hated me were crying, and many of those people regretted that we never got a chance to establish a relationship. And you can't fake that once that's the reality. And now I'm here, And sometimes the people call and it is what it is. It's difficult now to establish because we don't live in the same proximity anymore to see each other. We can do the best we can, but wow. And what's sad is you see this stuff still being played out in the church where you're not building relationships and God then gave you all these people. And you sitting up here doing like this. Stay away. I'll see y'all when I come up in here to worship. Don't say much to me. I'm not going to say much to you. Then I'm going to go on about my business. Okay. Brother Bob, what do you think Christ thinks of that? That's scary, isn't it? And yet we see it play out so much. So here's one of those little warnings. Don't mess up what God intended to be good. Don't do that. Because when you're in Christ, he gives you all of this in this life. In this life. And you never know what you're missing out on. Because I don't know that person or that person, I never know what they're going to add to my life if I open up and we begin a relationship. And sometimes, isn't that why we try to get into each other's homes? Because when you get into someone's home, they're more relaxed, you're more relaxed, you feel like you know them a little bit better, and the next thing you know, you're like, wow, I didn't know you were this, I didn't know you were that, and you learn things about them, and boy, I tell you what, a wonderful relationship begins to blossom. Don't cut off God's people. Because that's a wonderful blessing that he gave us. He gave it to us. And this is what he was telling Peter. Keep reading.
And everyone that has forsaken, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Come on, read. Now, look, we don't have time for that, but I'll tell you what. Read chapter 20, and then you get down to verse number 16 in chapter 20, and he's going to repeat what he just said there. You'll understand what he means by the many that's going to be last, going to be first, and the first going to be last. Okay, but you do that. That's on you. Go ahead and read.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto...
No, I'm sorry. Did you read down to the last part of that chapter? Yeah, that was the last verse. Okay, so here we have Jesus. He's telling Peter, I was looking for eternal life. I don't know if I heard it. He said, after you receive all these things, and then he says, and eternal... And everlasting life. That's what I was looking for. And you shall inherit everlasting life. So in the end, among all the things that you're going to receive in this life, houses and brothers and sisters and all this stuff and lands, you're going to receive all of that in this life. But then at the end, he says the most important thing, you're going to receive everlasting life. That's in response to Peter's question. What's in it for me? Jesus says, not only all these things in this life, brothers and sisters, lands, houses, but also everlasting life. Now, that's Peter asking the question. That's the Lord giving the response. And then Peter is later writing to Christians in his first epistle. And look what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. And verse number 4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope.
Now listen, did you hear Peter say, have begotten us again?
Yes, sir.
Did not Peter fall?
Yes.
Did not all of those individuals fall?
Yes.
Absolutely. And so you got to feel Peter is talking about certainly something that he can apply to himself. He has begotten us again unto a living hope, because when he was in that garden and God smote the shepherd, he's all of us fled. Peter even denied him 3 times. And you remember going back to the Lord's Prayer, when the Lord said to Peter, he says, I have prayed for thee that your faith fail not, because he says, you know what, Peter was saying, Lord, though all men shall be offended thee, yet should I not be offended. Jesus said, before the cock crows thrice, you shall deny me. Twice, rather, you shall deny me thrice.
And Peter, more vehemently, opposed what the Lord was saying. But Jesus told Peter, Satan had desired to have you, all of you, that he may sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now listen to Peter saying, blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope. Jesus done restored them boys. They didn't do good in that situation, but now they've been restored. And now Peter can pass that on to those whom the Lord said, when you get strengthened, you get converted. When you turn yourself around, get yourself together. I'm not going to give up on you, but when you get yourself together, I want you to strengthen your brethren. And now that's what Peter is doing. And remembering what the Lord said in reference to what you're going to receive, he says, this is what you can look forward to. What does he say?
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead,
uh-huh,
to an inheritance.
Come on.
Incorruptible,
which means it cannot decay. There is no germs of death to corrupt it. Come on.
And undefiled.
Undefiled, which means it cannot be stained by sin. You see, sin can stain some things on earth, and it can even stain holy things. You see, sin knows no boundaries in this life. Even sometimes the holy things of God can be stained by sin. But he says in this place, it's going to be undefiled, which means it's going to be pure. No sin will be able to stain it when you get to this place with this crown. Come on, read.
And that faith is not away.
It means it cannot wither. It cannot wither away. It will be enduring. When you think about the sum of the eternal inheritance in substance, that means it's incorruptible. In purity, it means it's undefiled. And in beauty, that means it cannot fade away. You see, they had that garland and the wreath and all those kind of things. And it can fade away. But this idea comes from the flower that keeps its beauty, that maintains its beauty, that will not fade away and always maintains its fragrance. So he says, it will not fade away. You don't have to worry about it, my friends. It will last. It will last. In its beauty, it's unfading. And then he says,
reserved in heaven for you.
It's reserved in heaven for you. It is laid up. It is stored in heaven for you. And then verse 5, he says, who are what?
Who are kept by the power of
God, ready to be revealed.
Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
And the last time. You know what Jesus would say? Jesus would say while he was here on earth in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, 19, he says to those people, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth. Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. He said, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And here Peter is saying there's an inheritance and it is stored up or laid up in heaven for you. Then he says it is kept by God. And God is one day going to bring those of us who are in Christ together with what he has laid up in heaven. Jesus says in order for you to get it, you're going to have to put your heart there. That agrees with what Paul is saying in Colossians chapter 3. If you then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And so when you put all of that together, my friends, you're talking about a wonderful benefit, not only in this life, with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, my friends, which one of us could not turn to one of our brothers and sisters in a time of need? Which one of us? We couldn't turn to our brothers and sisters in time of need. Now, I'm not saying every single person may help you the way you need to be helped, but I'm just saying at some point, we all going to come together and you're going to get what you need. So we have it. But then on top of that, we also have God, providential care, looking over us and watching us so that nothing is going to happen that he's not prepared for. And we have his guardianship. We have the privilege of prayer. We can't exhaust it. And so we can keep on asking. I might get tired. You might get tired of somebody asking us the same thing.
But God never gets tired. I might give it to you and then wonder what you did with that after you messed it up. But God will just give it to you again and give you more. And say you cannot exhaust me. And I'm not even going to kick you in the teeth for it. I'm just going to keep on giving it. You just keep on asking. And Jesus says, if you feel like he's not answering your prayer, just keep on asking. Just keep on asking. And you should always ask. Paul would say, pray without ceasing. On and on and on. And not only that, the opportunity to let go of former things that was doing nothing but messing us up and keeping us in bondage in the first place. I was a slave to basketball. Unto what you were you slaves? I'm tired of telling on myself. Y'all say something. Amen. What had you in slavery? I'm serious. Y'all come back there and tell me some stuff because I'm tired. I'm always the one got it. No, I'm just. But if you hear, I only touch the hem of the garment of what's in it for you when it comes to your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, Brother Bob, wouldn't that be enough? If we only had those four things, that'd be more than enough for me. Not only that, all the little amenities that would come from those things, you know. So it's not just one thing. Think about prayer, and then think about all the things that come with prayer. You know, think about the form of things and all the things I can let go and how that's going to help my life and free me from so many of those things that has bogged me down. I mean, it just goes on and on just in those several things. So if you're here this afternoon, we told you what's in it for you with Christ. So all you have to do is respond to him in gospel obedience, believing in him, trusting in him to be who he said he is. He is God, and he is God's son. He's equal to God in every way. And therefore, my friends, he is deity, and he deserves the respect and the reverence that goes along with that. So we have to come to recognize who he is, believing in him, repenting of our sins, confessing him before witnesses, and then being willing to be immersed in water so that we can die with him in the water of the grave of baptism, rise to walk in the newness of life. And we didn't even talk about all those things. All things have passed away, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He said, but behold, all things are new. New aims, new goals, new aspirations, new desires. I mean, just everything. Think about all the things that are new. Once we come into Christ, that's what we get. So if you need to respond, come now as we stand and sing the invitation song.
When the Savior comes.